It's lovely to see you with us again this evening for our Youth Carol service. It's lovely to see all these smiling young people sitting at the front. They're not really smiling at me yet. Well, there's one or two of them smiling, but hopefully by the end of the night they'll all be smiling. But it's lovely to have you here anyway, and we trust that you'll know the Lord's blessing as we come together this evening. We're going to sing our opening hymn just now. And it's a different hymn from what I see on the screen. But anyway, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. And please remain seated and we will please sing out your very best as we come together and praise the Lord. Commit our time to the Lord in prayer, and then immediately after that we're going to ask Wesley if he'll come and bring the announcements for us, please. So let's take time now to commit our meeting together to the Lord in prayer. At this time I want to take the opportunity to pass on behalf of the fellowship here our condolences and our Christian love to the Miller family on the passing of our brother Bertie during the week, and the funeral service was yesterday, and we want to assure them of our continued prayers for them at this time of loss. So let's pray just now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, our God, for your great love in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of sinners. We thank you, Lord, for this season of the year when we remember his coming, when we remember his birth. And Lord, as we come and we remember his birth, Lord, help us never to forget the reason why he came. He came to be the Savior of the world. As your word tells us, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a wonderful message to proclaim, even at this season of the year, that we can tell others about our Savior. We can tell them about their need of Christ. And our God, we pray that you would help us, each one, to be mindful of that in our daily living, that we would be mindful to tell others and to show others their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, we are thankful that we're able to come together this evening. We thank you for these young people. We praise your name for them. Lord, we pray that you'll bless each one of them, Lord, as they seek in these days to live for you. And we pray, Lord, that you will help them to live for you day by day. And Lord, as they come to take part in our program tonight, Lord, we just ask that you will undertake for them from beginning to end. And Lord, that will be a blessing to each one of our hearts, Lord, even as they minister to us throughout their program. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for the help that was given, even to the boys and girls as they took part. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for a sweet and a blessed time that was had, Lord, even in the carol service this morning. But we just pray for your blessing upon us again tonight, for each one who's gathered in, that you would indeed bless them and be near to them. Father, we're not unmindful tonight of those who can't be here, those who are unable to be here for different reasons, whether they're sick or shut in. And Lord, they need you, and we pray, Lord, that you will give them a touch from thyself. But Father, we pray very especially for the Miller family, Lord, on the passing of Bertie just this past week. We ask, our God, that you would draw strangely near to them, that you would comfort them and strengthen them and uphold them at a sad time. We thank you for our brother Bertie's testimony. We thank you, Lord, that he's in your presence right now because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago. But Father, we know that for a family there is loss, and we ask that you will comfort them just now. But Father, we do pray that you'll bless us, continue with us in our time together tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'll be glorified in all that is said and all that's done. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing our second carol just now, and then immediately after that, the young people are going to come to the front to take part in the program. So I'm not going to get up and announce you after this carol. I'm going to go down there so I can see the words to sing. So whenever we finish this carol, the young people then, if you be ready to come and to bring your program, please. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you. reading tonight is found in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness.
Verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
In a tiny town, in the dark of night, from a rundown stable, cry. He was wrapped in rags, and his parents were poor. But the baby in the manger was Christ the Lord. Ragged shepherds were watching their sheep that night, when the angel chorus filled the sky with light. Good news, great joy to this broken land, for the baby in the manger is Christ the Lamb. Hallelujah.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
The young people again. I know how much work they put in over the past few weeks, and it's really great to see it all come to fruition. So thank you very much. Do you know what? Let's give them another round of applause there. All right. Thank you. Now, just before we come to the Word of God and I go back up onto the platform, we're going to sing another carol, and it is from The Squalor. The words here will be on the screen. From The Squalor of a Borrowed Stable by the Spirit and a Virgin's Faith. Please remain seated, but let's all sing out. Enjoyed the young people taking part this evening. I know I did. It was lovely to see them up participating in our carol service. We're going to come to the Word of God just now, and I want to read just two verses, one in Luke chapter 1 and one in Matthew chapter 1. They're both very similar verses, and we want to read them just now. So Luke chapter 1 and the verse 31, and then Matthew chapter 1 and the verse 21. So we'll begin in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. The Word of God says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And then over to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And the Word of God says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. We'll finish just those two short verses this evening. Now, as I say, it's been lovely today to see both the children taking part this morning and to see our young people, the Salt Choir, taking part this evening. And it's been lovely to listen to them singing about the coming of the Saviour to the earth and the reason why he came, the purpose of his coming. And of course, we know it is indeed a very special time of year for God's people, a time when we come to celebrate this wonderful event, one of the two most significant events in history, alongside the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we can't have the one without the other. They're both significant. And it's vital that we remember just how important it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Without the birth of Christ, we would have no hope. Without the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one of us would be hopeless before God. And sadly, it is the case that for many, and they claim to celebrate Christmas, but they know little or nothing about the reason what they celebrate. They know little or nothing about why there's even a Christmas at all. And I find that to be a very sad thing, that people at this time of the year, in our land even, know nothing about the reason why we celebrate Christmas. And yet, as the little saying goes, Jesus is the reason for this season. Now, we've read two verses which really tell us that this evening, two verses of Scripture which are the declaration of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're made in Matthew and then in Luke. And of course, the one in Matthew was made by the angel who, and the announcement is to Joseph, and is telling Joseph about the birth, the coming birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving information about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over in Luke chapter 1, we find the angel comes to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and again there's this declaration of the coming of the Son. And in both of those declarations, we find the name given: thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew 1 and 21, his name shall be called Jesus. Luke 1 and 31, thou shalt call his name Jesus. These verses identify for us the Savior. They identify him for us in a number of different ways. The one in Matthew chapter 1 is really where I want us to focus our minds this evening. And I'm not going to keep you terribly long tonight. But I want you to see three things in Matthew 1 and verse 21 which identify for us the Savior. I want you to see, first of all, that the Savior is identified by his name. Matthew records that the angel says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name is Jesus. And that name is significant. It's a name which carries tremendous meaning. The name itself means Savior. It actually is a name which comes from a verb, and the verb means to save. So the point here is that at the very outset, as the angel speaks to Joseph, that the declaration is about the Savior. When you come to the beginning of the book of Matthew, and we didn't read it, but we'll look at it now, Matthew 1 and verse 1, we read that it tells us that this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. So we have a title there. He's Jesus, but he's Jesus Christ. And that title literally means the anointed one is salvation. The anointed one is salvation. It's telling us that he is Messiah. It's telling us that he's the one who's been promised by God. In order for him to come to be the Savior, in order for him to be Jesus, he had to be the Messiah. He had to be the one who had been promised during all of the Old Testament prophecies. Over in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the word of God says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now we see there another name. His name is Emmanuel. But just a couple of verses forward in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the angel goes on and says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So we have it referenced again. And what this gives us is a complete title of the Savior. We find in Matthew 1 that he's Jesus Christ. We find in Matthew 1 verse 23 that he's Emmanuel. And Emmanuel has a meaning. That name means God with us. So just in this opening chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the very first chapter of our New Testament, we find at the very beginning of our New Testament this wonderful truth that we have Jesus the Savior, Christ the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us. What does that teach us? It tells us at the very start of our New Testament that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in that name that we have, that the Word of God records for us, we see the promise of salvation, because he's the promised Messiah. Not only do we see the promise of salvation, but we see the person of salvation, because he's the Savior. And we see not only the promise of salvation and the person of salvation, but we see the power of his salvation, because he's Lord. Do we see the significance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The significance of his name is very simply this: it identifies that to everyone that he is exactly who God said he was. Do you know what that tells me? If you've heard about him, if you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that leaves you without excuse. It leaves you without any excuse, because his name alone points to his work. It points to his saving work. It points to his purpose for coming. The Bible tells us that we're born as sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that we need a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ, this one that we read about in Matthew chapter 1, this one whose name is Jesus, this one who's Emmanuel, this one who's Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's identified here by name, is the Savior of sinners. He's the Savior of all who will come and put their trust in him. But the question is, have you put your trust in him? Do you know him? You know you're a sinner. You know you're separated from God. Have you trusted in this Savior? We see the Savior is identified by his name. But in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we also see that the Savior is identified by his work. It says, I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. For he shall save. The work of the Lord Jesus is all about the salvation of sinners. He's the one who came to save, the Savior who came to save. All the way through the Word of God, this truth comes through time and time and time again. Back over in the Old Testament, in the prophecies, in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, the prophet Isaiah said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities, your sins, your transgressions, they have separated you from God. And there is this mark of separation, this line of separation between God and man. And it's because of sin. It's because sin entered into the world. Right back in the book of Genesis, in the chapter 3, we read there about the fall. We read there about sin entering into the world. And sin separates between man and God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, we bring it forward to the New Testament. It says, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So if death has passed upon all men, because all men have sinned, and we read then in 1 Corinthians 15 and 22, for as in Adam all die. This is the outcome for all mankind. Death. Separation from God because of sin. There's not one of us in this meeting this evening, there's not one who's gathered here who can say that we were born sinless. There's not one of us in this meeting today who can say that we don't stand guilty before God while we're in our sin, because the Bible tells us we're born guilty. The Bible tells us that we're sinners. In fact, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We can't say that we're sinless. The Bible tells us that we're not, and the Bible's the Word of God. There's no doubt, according to the Word of God, which is true, the Word of God is pure and it's truth, and there's no doubt, according to the Word of God, that we're sinners. But there's absolutely no doubt, according to the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. He's identified as the one who is the Savior. He shall save, is what Matthew tells us, Matthew 1:21. He shall save his people. Do you know, I quoted three verses there in Romans chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 15, and 1 John chapter 1. And each of those verses talks about sin. But when you read those verses in their chapters, each of those verses comes with an antidote. Whenever we read them, you see there's another reference there to what happens in each of those cases. If we just read that verse in Romans 5, and it says in Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But if you move on down in Romans chapter 5 to verse 15, and it says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. There is an antidote, and it's Jesus Christ. We referred to 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam all die. That verse continues and says, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The antidote is Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But it's actually got two antidotes, one before it and one after it. In verse 7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, what we have here is the power, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reference to his atoning work. Why did Jesus come? The Lord Jesus came to go to a cross. Yes, it's wonderful to celebrate his birth, and we should celebrate and recognize his birth and his coming, but he came with a purpose. He came to go to the cross. And upon that cross, he took the sins of the world upon himself. Upon that cross, he paid the price so that we would go free. He paid the penalty for our sin. That was the reason he came. That's the work he came to do. Came to be the Savior. He's identified by his work. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. The Savior's identified by his name. The Savior's identified by his work. But I want you to see as well that the Savior's identified by his power. Because this verse says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He'll save. Those who call upon his name, he will save. He has the power to save. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and when he hung upon that cross, it wasn't simply that he was willing to go that made his death a saving death. His willingness was a vital part of it. It was so important that he was willing to go. But it also required his ability to make his death a saving sacrifice. And his ability is found in the fact that he is sinless. He's perfect. He could be that perfect sacrifice for sinners. His death atones for sinners. His death has paid the price for sinners. We can think about other people, perhaps down through history, who have given their lives to ensure liberty for others. Just last month there, of course, we thought about that on Remembrance Sunday. And we do that year on year. And we remember those who have sacrificed themselves in order to ensure our liberty. But the only one who could give us eternal liberty, the only one who can give us eternal peace and eternal freedom, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people who went in the past and who have sacrificed, there's a willingness on their part to make that sacrifice. But there's no suggestion whatsoever that their sacrifice can do anything for us from an eternal point of view. There's no suggestion whatsoever that their sacrifice can save us from our sins. They may have helped to give us the freedoms perhaps that we enjoy today. But only Jesus can free you from your sin. Only Jesus has dealt with sin. Only Jesus has the power to deal with your sin. Jesus Christt is able. You know, the Bible tells us that he's the light of the world. And over in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, it tells us that he came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He's the only one who could do that. His power is beyond anything else that we can imagine. His power is an illuminating power. He shines the light of the gospel upon us as we contemplate this wonderful truth that the sinless Savior died. And he went to the cross for sinners. He went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. He's the only one who can save you. His power is a saving power. In John 10 and verse 9, it says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to save you. We're all lost without Christ. There's none of us immune from that. We have no hope without Christ. There's none of us have any hope without him. The Lord Jesus Christ died that we might live. His power is an atoning power. The power is in his sacrifice at Calvary. The power is in the blood of Jesus, which has cleansed us from our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood that flowed. It's a sinless sacrifice, an atoning work for us. And it was the only thing that a holy God would accept. He won't accept our best efforts, while we might try to be good. And he won't accept what we can give, though we might try to give. He will only accept the work of his Son, because only his Son has the power to save sinners. Friends, tonight our sin so separated us from God. Our sin was so deep that God required this perfect sacrifice. God required the death of his Son to purchase your salvation, to purchase our redemption. And his blood sacrifice was the only one that was sufficient, because he's the only one who's sinless. He's the only one who has the power. You know, there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. There's not one thing. The only thing that we can bring is our sin. The only thing that we can do ultimately is submit ourselves to the work of Christ. And if there was another way, if there had been any other way, God would not have required the death of his Son. But there is no other way. The Lord Jesus Christ said it himself. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He was the only way of salvation. He is the only way of salvation. And he always will be the only way of salvation. Do you know, it's been lovely to have you here with us this evening. Maybe you're here visiting. Maybe you're here to hear the choir, and it's lovely you've been here. And I truly hope that you have a lovely Christmas time, a blessed Christmas time. But I want to say this as graciously and lovingly as I can. The only way you can be truly blessed at Christmas is if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way you can have true blessing. You know, coming along to a Christmas service is a nice thing to do. And many people do it at this time of year. And perhaps it's the only time for some that they come along to a church service during the year. But coming along to a Christmas carol service, it's not going to save you. It's not going to make you ready for heaven. Being a good neighbor is not going to make you ready for heaven. Caring for others at this time of the year, caring for those perhaps who are needy and those who are less fortunate than us, it's a good thing to do, but it's not going to make us ready for heaven. The only thing that will make you ready for heaven is by confessing your sin, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only when you do that that you can have peace and joy. You can have the peace and the joy that has been sung about so well tonight by these young people. You can have that joy. Joy to the world. Be joy in your heart if you trust in Christ. Can I ask you tonight to come to Him? He's Savior in name. He's Savior by His work. He's the Savior with power. But He can be your Savior only if you come and trust in Him. Trust that you will. We're going to sing our closing carol just now. And again, the words will be on the screen. And it's "Who is He in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall?" And immediately after the carol, I will close our time together in prayer.
Oh,
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for those wonderful words that we've just been singing. We thank you, Lord, that he is indeed the King of glory. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that he is also the Savior of sinners. And we pray, our God, Lord, just now, as we've come to the end of our time together, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your help that's been given to our young people. We praise your name for them. Lord, we thank you for the ability that you've given them to stand up and to take part. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon each one of them. But Lord, we pray now for each one who's gathered that they would know the certainty of having their sin dealt with because they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we do pray for your blessing upon us now as we part. We pray, Lord, that we would have each one of us a blessed season at this time of the year, that each one would have a good time. But Father, above everything, help us to keep our minds fixed and focused upon the reason for his coming. And Father, we pray that we will live lives to glorify you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.